141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we edge ever closer to the return of the Premiership. Lee Johnson's got no problem playing Ryan Porteous at Ibrox on Thursday or any other game, despite him not signing a new contract at Hibs. Josip Juranovic lines up against Lionel Messi in the World Cup semi-final tonight. Borna Barisic is named on the bench. And Kilmarnock announced plans for an ambitious new training facility called Bowie Park. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight, as always on a Tuesday, is Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Two World Cup semi-finals on the horizon, one tonight, one tomorrow, but it's Premiership action again on Thursday. It's been a long 5 weeks, but we're back, can't wait. Rangers v Hibs just round the corner, followed by a lunchtime kickoff in Pittodrie. Glad the Premiership season is back.
Yeah, finally something to look forward to Thursday night. Rangers v Hibs, and then the weekend's card, exciting card, Gordon. Looking forward to it. I think every Scottish fan getting out there supporting their team, we know it's very cold, so wrap up well. That's just a warning ahead of the, you know, the weekend's fixtures. But I'm really looking forward to the Premier League starting back. I've really enjoyed the Championship in the lower division, no doubt about that. Some entertaining football there. But the big league starts back on Thursday.
Come on then, 01419511025. At this time of year, you're used to building up to the big day. For us, the big day is Thursday and followed by Saturday and so on. The Premiership finally returning. So get in touch with all your early thoughts. It is only 2 days away, so realistically, we should be turning our attention specifically to Rangers against Hibs. Rangers fans, Hibs fans, why not? Why not get in touch? Rangers fans, are we already at that stage where we should be looking at what the starting 11 is and who the strongest team should be and what you've made of maybe the friendly at the weekend, or some early noises coming out of Michael Beale in terms of who he might pick? Celtic fans, Joe Hart was speaking a bit today. Celtic raring to go. Obviously added some new faces as well during the World Cup break, who can then play after January. You have to wait until Saturday for things to get underway in the league. But either way, come on then, 01419511025, and anything else that's out there at all. Maybe you're settling down, Celtic fans, or interested observers from Scottish football, to watch Josip Juranovic in World Cup semi-final action against Lionel Messi, of all people. What do you think? How is that one going to go tonight? How can that benefit you, Celtic fans? Can it benefit his sell-on? Can it benefit his performances if he does play more games for the club? Whatever is on your mind, this is the place to share it. 01419511025. So give us a call right now. And if nothing else, Mark Wilson, it gives us something to watch in the second hour of the show.
Well, and it's always an interest when there's players who represent our league being involved in a World Cup semi-final. Not the first, I'm sure, players to represent our league in a World Cup semi-final, but nevertheless. And I think it even adds more interest with the whole debate that's surrounding this right-back position at Celtic just now. You know, quite odd that they bring in another right-back fresh from the World Cup when they've got Rouse in there and Juranovic is number one. It would suggest he will be moved on. And games like tonight is just an opportunity for the Celtic board to bump up the price if he does well again.
Yeah, playing with Celtic and the success he's had, terrific player, and obviously Barisic from Rangers on the bench, great for our league, Gordon. A great opportunity tonight to get to a World Cup final. So everything to play for. You asked a question there, does that make his stock rise in the transfer market if he gets to the World Cup? Of course. Is Barisic still a big bit to play? Could be. So really exciting times for both Celtic and Rangers fans.
Yes, don't forget it is 01419511025. So please do give us a call right now. What are you thinking? What are you expecting from Josip Juranovic tonight? How good is it to have a player playing on that stage? How can it benefit Celtic if he stays? How can it benefit the bank balance if he goes? Give us all your thoughts on that one right now, because that game kicks off fairly soon. Rangers fans, we have to turn our attentions, because it's not far away at all, just 2 days away from the visit of Hibs to Ibrox in the Scottish Premiership. How do you feel? How excited are you about the Michael Beale era beginning? What do you think the strongest team looks like at the moment? Even Hibs fans, we've got some thoughts from Lee Johnson and Ryan Porteous to come, so this would be a good place to get your thoughts in. 01419511025. How are, just on the subject of the World Cup, how are you after the weekend? Because you were the one of the the most outspoken supporters of England on the show, and I got a few messages, not too polite,
wishing
I must admit,
well.
Aimed at you at full time on Saturday night. You okay? Are you over it?
Yeah, proud of the boys. I thought they performed very well. Look, I thought France had the better chances, but thought England played exceptionally well. Enjoyed that. That's one of the few games I did enjoy. Obviously the drama with Argentina and Netherlands right at the end with a terrific free kick. A bit sad to lose England, but look, things roll.
Yeah, up. Absolutely. My heart bleeds for you. I'm sure Mark Wilson would agree with us.
I could just see him sitting in his couch with England flag draped over him. Yeah, with his line hat on, covering his ears. You know,
dressed like one of the Crusaders, chainmail,
full chainmail, sitting in his recliner.
I've actually heard you wear chainmail on a Saturday night quite a lot. Anyway, so it's just good that the football sort of coincided with it this week. Anyway, Twitter at Clyde SSB or the phones 0141 951 1025. Come on down. We've waited for this, haven't we, for a few weeks. I think we've done all right, Mark Wilson.
Done great.
It's gone faster than we would expect, I think.
Yeah.
Naturally, a certain club not too far from here changing their manager, that speeded things up a bit, but there we go.
Well, it certainly gave us a lot to talk about. I mean, it does seem a long time ago when you think it. We were in this studio and we watched Van Bronckhorst's last game in charge, and we were debating whether it would go or not. The statement or the interview came in Sky Sports, and we all kind of changed our mind then, thinking, well, surely he's not going to be let go. And then things kicked into action, and it seems a long time that now Beale's been in the building without really seeing anything, any competitive action. I know they had the friendly at the weekend, and I'm sure the Rangers fans will have some takeaway from that, that they seem to have looked better, they seem to play a different style. It'll be interesting to see how they take that into the game on Thursday against real opposition.
Well, I was going to say, what type of dafty puts too much attention on a friendly? But Gordon Dale admitted a few weeks ago that the only reason he predicted Rangers to win the league at the start of the season is because he watched one friendly against West Ham and thought they looked good. Are you going to revisit it now?
Yeah, I watched that friendly the weekend. I've got Rangers winning with 12 points now. Dumbarton are in a good position, so I'm right there. But I think listening to the show last night, there was a lot of Rangers fans really positive about the performance at the weekend. Yes, it was a friendly. Leverkusen looked like they were in second gear to bonus, but that's nothing to do with Rangers. It was just the style of play, different formation, you know, with Kent coming in a little bit, tweaking one or two things. They'll be looking forward to Thursday, and obviously Celtic, who finished just before the World Cup in great form, playing very well, the boost of signing a few players. I just think that this weekend will be brilliant football, Gordon.
Yeah, come on, this is when you get in touch. Whilst you're getting your calls in, 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, what are you looking for on the return of domestic football? It's a couple of days longer for you. What about Josip Juranovic then? Are you making a point of watching him tonight? Do you feel like your allegiances are going towards Croatia as a result? Or does everyone out there want to see Lionel Messi win the World Cup? What does it do for Josip Juranovic? What does it do for Celtic, him playing on this stage tonight? What do you think? Give us a call right now, 01419511025. Rangers fans, Hibs fans, what about Thursday? Not too far away, 48 hours time. Ibrox will be filling up, and we'll be looking ahead to the start of the Premiership action returning. So what are you thinking? Who do you think are the main players that Michael Beale is going to rely on? Can you see any previous fringe players now coming in and making a bit of an impact? Maybe guys that didn't feature much at the start of the season, who are going to be the guys that suddenly come in and feature a lot more under Michael Beale? Do let us know. 01419511025. You look puzzled.
I'm just looking at the weather.
Do you just constantly wear Christmas jumpers, by the way? Yeah. I'm meaning to ask you that.
Same one.
Well, tis the season. This isn't the same one.
It is.
I had the sheep on last week.
As nice as it is, but people usually will go, you know, if it's like a Christmas jumper day or a Christmas party, you genuinely just seem to be wearing
just a month
all the time.
I was helping out at a special charity. Yeah, it's packing gifts for kids. By the way, Night Before Christmas campaign that's involved with Cash for Kids. What terrific campaign they did in there on their show.
And it's obvious to me that's last year's Christmas jumper because it's a bit tight.
There's a few more mince pies last year than I was expecting.
I don't think those
reindeer were as long as that last year.
They're like sausage dogs.
I'm stretched.
The reindeers have had some carrots, let me tell you.
Anyway, I was going to say about the weather before you interrupted me.
What do we need to know about the weather?
However, is there Are we in danger of losing
don't
any
start.
Games this,
don't start.
This
week? We've waited 5 weeks, right?
It is frozen beyond belief out there.
Cross that bridge when we come to it. Mark is in Kilsyth to kick us off. Hi, Mark.
Hi there.
How's it going?
Hi, all right.
Good. What's your point tonight?
Even the final think Juranovic is worth, because if Calvin Bassey's worth about 20 million and Parson's worth 16, 17, I'd be looking for 25 million for him.
Mark Wilson.
How much do you say there?
25.
You said 75 million there.
Why not?
25
cost
million.
Crisis.
I never like these kind of things because you're just guessing. It's whoever's willing to pay. Like you would say, playing in a World Cup semi-final and you've already faced Brazil and you stood out in that game and you're playing against the best, then of course it's going to inflate your price. You've had a Champions League campaign behind you. Last year it was Europa League. So you're playing at the top level. Even though you're not playing in the top league in Europe, you're still playing at the top level. If you look around Europe just now at right backs and left backs that are going in the Premier League, I mean, what are they going for there? 30 million, you know, and upwards of that. It depends on what somebody's willing to pay for them, and that's always going to be the case.
Mark, I'm not for a second saying he is not as good as Calvin Bassey or whatever. Is it worth bearing in mind though, when you make that comparison, that Calvin Bassey's 5 years younger? Do we need to take that into account, regardless of who the players are?
Yeah, that's true. I know he's younger, but he's no better.
No, I get that. But Gordon, if you're again, I'm not making this about Bassey versus Juranovic. I'm talking generally. Let's call it 22-year-old versus 27-year-old. It's not always easy to compare the fees, because you could be getting the guy for 5 years longer and you might have a sell on at the end of it. By the way, that I'm not arguing, Juranovic might be worth 40 million. I don't know. But that's why it's difficult to pluck player A, player B, yeah, and compare their transfer fee.
What we will all agree in is he's a terrific right back. He's a very good football player. Of that, there's absolute no doubt. It's just how desperate a club is to get you in there. There could be a bidding between a couple of clubs and someone could go a lot higher. Has his stock risen since the summer? Yeah, 100%. Is the World Cup doing him the world of good? Yes, it is. Can he get to a final, which makes it better? He's playing against the top players in the world. He's shown that he can perform at that platform. So I don't know. Listen, we can throw figures out there and people will come on and say, how can you talk about X, Y and Z, because somebody went for 20 million, somebody went for 10, 50. Whatever that club is and how desperate they find him and how important a player is to bring into their team, they'll be prepared to pay the money.
Because I think someone will probably tell me I'm wrong, but I think Juranovic, has he got longer left on his contract than perhaps Bassey did? So again, you know, it's just all of these things that you have to take into account. So that one would go back in his favour.
And again, the club, and I think Daz was touching on it, what kind of club is it that's buying them? Now, going to Ajax, you sort of see Ajax as a sailing club as well. I know they've got aspirations to go far into European tournaments, but they've got a tradition of bringing players in through their own academy or buying them and then selling them on for a big profit. If it's an established European team who have no interest in a kind of outcome in 5 years, yeah, they just want instant success, then they will be prepared to pay 20 million or whatever it is the going rate for a top European fullback. And I think Juranovic, that, I mean, I was amazed. Remember a couple of weeks ago, somebody came on the phone here and said that when they missed Juranovic,
that's right,
he was the worst defender at the club. And I'm thinking, well, you obviously don't watch Celtic enough or European football or Croatian football enough to realise how good a player this guy is and what a loss he will be to Celtic. Never mind how good Alistair Johnson is. When Juranovic leaves, which he will do, it is going to be a loss for Celtic.
Mark, can the picture get even better if he has a good game tonight?
Aye, definitely, yeah. Aye.
Do you fancy him to do that? What have you, based on what you've seen of him so far, he's got the small matter of Lionel Messi and co up against him this evening.
Ah, so brought it. The thing.
A ringing endorsement from Mark and Precise.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. That's the guy. You want him in the changing room with you, Mark.
Rousing team talk.
You know, you're up against Messi, but you'll be all right.
I'd have loved him to be in the Celtic huddle with you. What a snore fest that would have been between you two. Look, he's got a great opportunity to get into a World Cup final. Yes, one fantastic man stands in the way, Lionel Messi, because he is really Argentina, let's be honest. But he's done his shell absolutely, and so's Barisic. To be fair, every time Barisic has been called upon, he's doing well. So it's great for players to go and play, and especially get to this stage in the World Cup.
Yes, I mean, you're obviously a key part of it, Mark. There was the standout performance against Brazil, but that'll be him started every game, wasn't it? He started all the group games, all the knockout games. We're now in the semi. You wouldn't write them off going all the way. So are we already? Is it worth bearing in mind as well that for all this talk there's been about this club might be interested, that club might be interested, this might even be the type of night that brings an entirely new club to the party that's not even thought about it before?
I think so. See, at the end of the World Cup, there's always the team of the World Cup, and you'll go through the positions and look, has there been a better right back than Juranovic? Very few. So he's got a good chance of being in that side. I think if you're in that side, clubs look at that. And we've seen players in the past, team of the World Cup, going for extraordinary amounts of money, the end result and nothing.
The Morocco right backs had a good tournament. Not to burst your bubble.
Well, I was going to throw Walker out there, but I'm not getting involved.
Oh, get a chainmail off, would you?
Listen, it was only it's cold in it. I wanted people jumping about in their house listening, going, what is he talking about? I was only kidding on. I think your Aaron Rich has been terrific. I really do. He'll certainly be up there. He's had a great World Cup. He's a very good player. Yeah. Let's not be kidding. And it'll be interesting to see that if he does leave Celtic, what the price tag will be.
Right, what do you think? Thank you to Mark and Kilsyth. 01419511025. I've got a sensational revelation for you both tonight. Like, genuinely, I'm not just saying that for dramatic effect.
Who does it?
Sounds dramatic.
Tell me, I'm out of this.
It involves you, Gordon Deal.
No, I can't. I've had a quiet weekend.
No, this is the thing. This isn't just our.
I stayed in deliberately.
This is not our usual nonsense. This is actually heavily linked to football, to the Scottish Premiership, to one of the big stories that we've all been talking about. Honestly, I've been blown away by this one. I'm deadly serious.
I am starting to get a little bit worried.
Don't be worried.
I've got a sweat up.
I'll tell you about it next.
The savings are stacked at Sleep Outfitters. Right now, save up to $800 store-wide on top brands you know and trust. Plus, buy one, get one free deals so you can upgrade sleep for your entire family. And get a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. With 0% interest financing and free delivery available, getting better sleep has never been easier. And with our exclusive lifetime price guarantee, you'll always know you got the best deal. Save big today at Sleep Outfitters. Visit sleepoutfitters.com or a location near you. Sleep better and save big right now at Sleep Outfitters. Save up to $800 store-wide. Get buy one, get one free deals, plus a free adjustable base on select mattresses. With 0% interest financing, free delivery, and our exclusive lifetime price guarantee, you can't miss this. Only at Sleep Outfitters.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here, both waiting for you to get in touch though. Come on, 01419511025. Don't be shy. We're looking ahead to tonight's World Cup action because we've got a Scottish Premiership player starting and another on the bench. Juranovic plays from the beginning and Barisic amongst the supporting cast. So what do you make of that? Are you watching it? Does that give you an extra incentive to get on the couch nice and early? What does it do for Juranovic personally? What does it do for Celtic to have that spotlight on? Let us know. Rangers fans, Hibs fans, come on, only 2 days away. What are you thinking ahead of the game? 01419511025. Right, what about this revelation? Are you ready for this?
Yes, come on.
Because this does centre around you, right? But I want you to bear with me here.
I'm not guilty.
I want to take you on a bit of a journey. Mm-hmm. Do you remember way back on this show when Ange Postecoglou was named Celtic manager? Mm-hmm. And everyone was sort of giving it the old Ange, who never heard of this guy. Mm-hmm. And you said, oh, I know Ange Postecoglou, I came across him in Australia.
Yeah.
And everyone thought you were talking absolute nonsense because you always talk nonsense. Like that's that's like your thing. Which is fine.
And then that's your thing.
And then it transpired that actually you were a teammate of Ange Postecoglou's in Australia. So it did get me wondering, maybe we need to trust you a bit more. Maybe you are a worldwide footballing phenomenon. Right? And do you remember, I'm going to play this clip to jog the memory, just a couple of weeks ago when we were asking about the World Cup and who you fancied and what sort of teams stood out for us. You said this.
I've taken a real shine to Canada. Loved them. But I've got a connection with Canada, obviously. And
when you say obviously,
I nearly get engaged in Canada.
Right, so you told us.
You have
no founder. I said it was a good
since
revelation.
You walked in that door.
It's not that good. Believe me, it's not that good. Right, so you've
explained. Why don't I get my ring out?
Steady.
No, keep that away, please.
You've explained your connection.
Keep eating our dinner.
With Canada, right?
Yeah.
I got a sensational message today, right? And it turns out, and you won't remember this, but I'll put you in the spot. Because you used to go and coach in Canada as well, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, I did, yeah. Toronto,
you've
yeah.
mentioned it before, in Toronto. Do you remember the name of the youth soccer club that you coached at?
No.
You don't remember, no? Aurora.
Aurora. Yes.
Yeah, you remember that?
Yeah, I know now.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Aurora. Yes.
Do you know who was in the Aurora Academy at the time when you coached there?
No, that's impossible.
Alistair Johnston, Celtic's new signing, was yes! at that youth club at the time that you coached there.
I want a finder's fee.
You basically made him the player that he is.
How do you know that?
I got a message from the Federation of Celtic Supporters Club in North America.
Yeah.
This guy's based in Toronto.
This is terrible news.
And he got in touch.
Terrible news.
To say, here's a diamond for you and the Dazzler. And he's given me it all. He said he was over in Toronto. He was coaching the kids. I knew Gordon from his time in Scotland. When he came to Canada, I lived and worked in Aurora at the time, and Alistair Johnston was a youth player for Aurora YFC at the
That's
time.
That's right, I remember the club.
You
it was him. A fantastic club.
You made him.
Wait, it was Alistair Johnston.
So not only are you a former teammate of Ange Postecoglou, you
building
made
that Celtic
Alistair
team.
Johnston.
I tell you what, no wonder Rangers fans are having a dig at me. I am building that city.
Because there's Celtic fans trading in their season tickets as we speak.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll be in the book shortly. I brought their manager, I brought their right back. What else?
So what age is he about then?
24. So it was ages ago you were there, wasn't it?
24 years ago.
Oh, no. it was
10 years.
Oh, easy. 10 years, yeah. So
he was a kid in the...
By the way, it was a fantastic... club.
I thought you were going to pretend you remembered them as a player.
Funny you should say that. I'm starting to get the flashbacks
right?
now.
Okay.
Thinking a young boy, get down the wing and put it in. One day you could be in Scotland playing with Celtic. With my old pal Ange. I think I gave Ange an odd in that one.
01419511025.
You're telling me.
There's a lot of people out there connected to me that I don't know.
I believe that. Brian is on the line. Money. What's your point tonight, Brian?
Well, just before I make my point, the Dazzler, he can hold his head up high because when Ange came in, 95% of the media and all your pundits said, Ange, who? The Dazzler told us this guy's got his finger on the pulse. Not only has he got a finger on the pulse, he's leading Scottish football and he's leading Celtic into a new era for football. So, Dazzler, take your shine by you because you've done well.
That's plenty from me, Brian. You were doing well. I'm going to cut you off if you praise him any longer. What's your point?
So my point is this, right? So we've got Josip Juranovic, who's on the precipice of a possible place in a World Cup final. He's a Glasgow Celtic player. That fills me with pride for Celtic, in as much as we got him for pretty much a song, and if he's going to be sold, which is the general consensus in all the media, then he'll be sold for 10 times, maybe 15 times. As you said earlier on, it's a guessing game as to how much and whatever. But Josip Juranovic is not the best defender at Glasgow Celtic right now. He's not. He's a Scottish boy. Greg Taylor's their best defender. And I put that down to Dazzler's pal, Big Hand, and his man management style, his coaching style. He's also getting a tune out of 60-70% of the players that were maybe falling away that were there. Obviously, I don't think Kalmak, the Polish, that guy is a diamond, you know what I mean? But Big Hand just came in, he's recognised qualities and forces that these boys needed, and he's implemented it. But what he's done to Greg Taylor, and I met Greg recently. I said to him, you are an anomaly, son of Maldini, I call him, because he is just, I mean, you cannot put a number on the percentage of his up game, and I do rate him higher than Josip Juranovic right now.
See, it's funny, Mark, because I kind of get that in one respect, because a lot of Celtic fans would say Greg Taylor probably has been better than Juranovic this season.
Yeah,
you could always spin that the other way and say, would Greg Taylor get a 20-25 million pound move at the moment? Probably not. And Josip Juranovic will, and whether that's the international effect or not, then who knows. But yeah, based on Celtic performances this season, I know who a lot of Celtic fans would give the nod to.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that. I've seen Taylor develop into something it's quite amazing. And to be fair, I've said it loads of times, I was never a Greg Taylor critic like some Celtic fans were. I could see he was a good player. I could see where he came from, that it, you know, at Killy, what he could bring to a team going forward. But he got an awful lot of stick, as many Scottish players do when they go, and you know, the fans don't take to him, and that affected him. Ange Postecoglou's come in, gave him a different way of playing, gave him a renewed confidence, and he's taken that on now. He started the season brilliantly, and the fans have gotten side with him. In the big European games, he's been great, and he's just carried on from strength to strength. And I probably agree with Brian. I think he's been one of Celtic's not just best defenders, but best players this season. But the reality is, he's probably never going to get the hype that Juranovic is, because Juranovic has got the international, you know, this stage, this platform to play on that will always inflate your price.
Is it just that though, or as good as Greg Taylor's been this season, is there still a thought out there, not necessarily from us, but maybe from scouts or whatever, that Juranovic's ceiling at the moment is a bit higher? Is he capable of more right now than Greg Taylor
but
is?
I think if you look at them and their attributes and what they bring, I think Greg Taylor's having a fantastic season, but I would say Juranovic is quicker as a fullback. I would probably say his end product's better. Set pieces, penalty kicks, he's a much more rounded individual. But again, I would then agree with Brian that Greg Taylor's been maybe then overperforming this year, and he's been, that's how well he's doing. But Juranovic, yeah, has shown that he can deal with world-class players on big stages and come out against them pretty well. And I think that's why other clubs, European clubs, will be looking to take a chance on him.
I think that on the Greg Taylor situation, I think they would come under the brackets for me of the most improved player at Celtic by a country mile.
It's not the award you want to win though, is it?
No, but
remember them on awards nights.
Yeah, but it is
most improved.
I'll be first to admit this, Gordon. I was a doubter. I wasn't too stuck up in Greg Taylor. I thought he was okay. I thought that Celtic would improve that position, bring in another left back, pay a few quid for him. Greg Taylor would probably play second fiddle. All credit to him. He's been absolutely brilliant. He has been absolutely brilliant. You can't take that away from him. I think the new way that Postecoglou plays with the fullbacks getting in the pitch has suited him down to a T. He's really embraced that. But going back to Juranovic, I think he is the full package for a right back.
Run that past me again, Brian. When you met Greg Taylor, you called him son of what?
Son of Maldini.
Wow, talk about high praise. What did they used to call you, Mark? Nick. It started with son of as well, did it not?
Yes, of high praise indeed. I mean, son of Maldini.
You were just son of Mr. Wilson.
Yeah.
Son of John.
Up.
Son of UPS.
Of the
UPS. Son of UPS guy. Delivery guy.
Yeah.
That's high praise from Brian.
His real dad was in the shore. No, absolutely brilliant that Taylor, I've got to say, but Juranovic is playing the World Cup semi-final tonight. Come on. I do agree the fact that Taylor has been terrific, but Juranovic is top drawer for me.
We'll find out how he fares tonight in the not too distant future. 01419511025. Thank you, Brian. What about Mark in Maryhill? What's your point tonight, Mark?
Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Probably can't complain.
Good.
Cannot complain. No, my point is, last night I think it was the question got asked, were Celtic fans happy with the prospect of Juranovic getting sold?
Mm-hmm.
I believe we've got at least five players there that are going to go. They're showing their class. But what I'm loving, for the first time in my 47 years as a Celtic fan, I've never known this to have a manager who's forward-thinking or the club forward-thinking. And I think it's all down to Ange. Now, rather than wait until the summer and we sell a big player, and then we're playing catch up to try, we'll wait to see if we're in Europe, and at the last minute we get someone. I think Angie says, no, look, we've got class here that is going to move on. He's accepted that, and he's not worried about that. Let's get players in that we can bed them in. So when we do sell them, we've got players there that will just keep going. It's like a little train that he's got going, rather than waiting to the last minute. And honestly, it wouldn't bother me if Juranovic goes in the January window. And honestly, come summertime, there's Jota, a couple of other ones. I think he'll bolster the team in the summer, knowing that the following year there'll be another three or four players out the door. And I'm loving it.
Everybody just seems to be talking as if it's a matter of time and Juranovic goes in January, Mark. Is that the way you see it, or is there an alternative here?
Not many. The clubs that can afford to pay probably 20, 25 million in January, would they really need a player in January? Probably not. I'm hoping we don't, because 9 points we've seen in the past, that can go within the space of a month if you have a bad month. So I'd love to keep this squad together and say, look, stay here till January, till the summer. If we're back in Europe, you've got that choice to stay here or go to another club for more money that might not be in Europe. But other than that, yeah, the ship's sailing happy as far as I'm concerned. I don't think you'll find a Celtic fan that is really worried. They might not want Juranovic to go, but I think they'll be happy knowing that Big Ange keeps finger on the pulse and he's bringing in players before they go. So if Ange goes in January, we've got a ready-made, hopefully, for what we've seen in the World Cup, a ready-made signing. So it's looking good, and we've never had this at Celtic, and I'm loving it. And I hope after Ange, because there will be an after Ange, I hope this kind of model and this practice of working continues, because we are a feeder club to other so-called bigger clubs, and I think Ange knows that, and he's a businessman, I think, and he's doing it the right way.
I think that's where Postecoglou's got it spot on, Gordon. As a manager coming in, transfer market he looks at, he's recruited brilliantly, let's not be kidded. He will not want to lose a player of the stature of Juranovic. You want to keep your best players, and he fits into that bill, but he knows that money counts. And he knows he's been backed by the Celtic board, and he's given something back. It works both ways. And he's already brought in the replacement, and he's always on the ball with us. He's a very forward thinking manager. Celtic fans just buy into it. I think Postecoglou could get rid of any Celtic player, and include Jota in this, and I think the fans would still back him 1,000,000% because of his transfer record.
Mark was suggesting there to Mark in the studio, the teams that are going to spend 20, 25 million, will they need to do it in January? I suppose the reality is now that loads of teams can afford that. That's just, that's the way it is now. And also, we used to hear these kind of cliches about January being a tough window and all that stuff, but we've never had a January window that's immediately followed the World Cup.
Yeah, where players have been in the shop window in the biggest level. After World Cups, look, we see transfers go through pretty quickly for astronomical amounts on the back of World Cups. So, look, from a business point of view, if you're Celtic, it would be the right time to cash in Juranovic, especially when you've brought in Johnson, you've got Ralston, that off the back of a successful period, you can get the most out of him. If you let that go to summer, not that people would forget, but it's not as fresh in their mind as I'm playing against, the Brazilians or the Argentinians tonight and being so good. So in terms of teams, would they do it? Well, he can't play in the Champions League, I suppose, but the teams that are in the Champions League and will go maybe far into it, or other teams in Europe, will have domestic campaigns that they need big squads for. So 25 million is nothing to these sides.
Thank you very much to Mark. 01419511025. It's 2 days away from the Premiership returning Rangers against Hibs. Let's start that pre-match discussion, Rangers fans. What are you thinking? Who should play? Who shouldn't play? How excited are you to see Michael Beale's team in action? Is this the start of some sort of comeback, or is it just about trying to improve and see what you can do between now and the end of the season? Get all your thoughts in. 01419511025. Callers right now, it's a great time to call. And we could be getting you on next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here, 0141 951 1025. Twitter at Clyde SSB. I think we're all still recovering from that revelation that Gordon DL coached a young Alistair Johnson.
Amazing.
Founder of Toronto. AG.
Your friend Curious Creatures, the poet, has been on. He says a young impressive fullback from a far and distant land was coached by our own Dazzler, who he couldn't understand. He said to that young fullback, "Keep progressing, and who knows, you could find yourself in Scotland, me and you up Jackie O's."
It could be a possibility, but it's not
a proposition that is. Yeah,
just shows you.
And that's a popular Kirkcaldy night spot for people that don't know it. Yeah,
that was the night spot, not a popular, but it's gone now.
I'm sure it
with
was.
My memories.
01419511025. Let's bring in Kieran from East Kilbride. Hi, Kieran.
How's it going, Farrell? Is all okay?
All good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good. Looks very good, Mark. You all right? You still recovering for that Bolton Wanderers shout that I bet you on?
What's that?
Oh, beat the pundit, I think.
Beat the pundit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's back on to rub salt in the wounds.
Kieran,
I love that.
Shut up and go on with your point.
It's good to see you recovering, mate.
Listen, give me your. I don't want to speak about
he's
it.
Shy, Kieran. I think you've done him. I think he's embarrassed. I think he just wants you to move on with your point and forget.
Wait, hold on
happened.
A minute. When did you beat me?
Oh, I'm not marked it in the diary, but I need to soon.
It's obviously a long time ago. Kieran, phone up again in 15 minutes.
No, I don't. We'll look it up, Kieran. What's your point tonight? Not long until Juranovic takes the field against Messi and co.
So hearing from the last point, you're talking about obviously letting Juranovic go, but when would be a sort of ideal point, do you guys think, to let him go? Because obviously the Old Firm at the start of the month, on the second, would you run the risk and say something back like an injury or whatever, or then you've got the League Cup and the Scottish Cup sort of later on. So when in the January window do you think would be the sort of ideal time for Juranovic to go?
I do think it'll be unusual if he goes right at the start, you know, because it's, well, unless there's negotiations going on behind the scenes right now, but I would think Juranovic would be back in Scotland, back at Lennox Town, before any sort of deal should be done. So look, these deals are complex, don't get done overnight. If he is going, that is. So I think it would be mid to end January it would go, which then would free him up for the run of games that Celtic have got that are incredibly important from now until mid January. And after that point, I suppose that would give Alistair Johnson enough time to settle into the club and find his surroundings and maybe have a nice wee break after his World Cup exploits.
I don't think it really matters. I think it's all down to when the deal's ready to be done. If there's a deal ready to be done, Gordon, if it's there to be done, everything's fine with all parties, then I think Juranovic should be on his way. It's just simply that. Whether it's the beginning of January or end, because you're thinking, okay, important games, but Celtic have got a big squad there. They brought in a player that looks the part as well. Ralston's been terrific at right back. You could run the risk of saying, tell you what, we're going to hold off maybe at the end of January, try
it's
and gets an injury. We've seen it and we hope it doesn't happen. So for me, I think that Celtic will do their business in the sense of the minute that's signed and sealed, then that's when it'll be done.
I suppose, ironically enough, Kieran, Josip Juranovic was pitched into an Old Firm game, wasn't he? He even played left back. So is there any reason, by the way, Anthony Ralston's still there, so not overlooking him, but is there any reason that Ange Postecoglou wouldn't just go for Alistair Johnson and trust him? He doesn't tend to hang about, does he?
Well, that's what the thought behind of where he goes, because Ange likes to get his business done early, obviously, with the signing of Alistair Johnson and Kobayashi, the Japanese boy. But me personally, I'd keep Juranovic. You've seen the performances. He's been always consistent at that right back. Craig Taylor's came through now and gets a bit of the shine at the defence, but I think for Celtic and especially the fullbacks, Juranovic, the way that we play, I think we need him for the sort of big games and the big run up in the middle of January.
Well, Mark, we're looking at what the shop window tonight. The television coverage on ITV has just run a feature specifically on Josip Juranovic, a piece of analysis looking at his performances in the World Cup. So, you know, it's widely known. It's not just us looking for Juranovic because he plays in Scotland. I think on the build up that we've been watching on the TV, granted I don't have the volume up, I think they've picked out two Croatia players, maybe, yeah, maybe a third that I've missed, and Juranovic was one of them. So this is starting to get widely noticed.
Yeah,
here.
They ran a wee feature in Modric earlier on.
There was three then.
And
Gladwell
and Juranovic. So it goes to show you what they think of him. Like when these companies give you 30 seconds airtime to concentrate in your World Cup, it lets you know how you've been playing. And he has been one of the exceptional fullbacks there. No doubt the top clubs in Europe, not the second tier clubs, I think the top clubs in Europe will be keeping an eye on Juranovic and keeping a close eye on him tonight. And Kieran, I do remember you. You popped Bolton Wanderers out in nowhere.
I remember that as well.
Remember,
guest
Bolton Wanderers, so well done.
Listen, don't let it get you down, you two, because I know the listeners will be on your back for some of the nonsense that you talk. It doesn't only happen at this level of punditry. Apparently, when Josip Juranovic's feature was on there on ITV, one of the pundits, I think it was Ian Wright, said, I mean, he's been kept out the Celtic team by Anthony Ralston.
He's obviously
he's done his own work on that one.
Did I hear calling him Juranovic the other day as well?
That's by the... Listen, you people in glass houses, I've heard some of you two. The pronunciation's coming
never
from
never criticise anybody for that. We all make mistakes.
But there we are. I don't know how that information got there.
Righty should know his business, having played up here.
Someone's just mentioned it, or he's checked a couple of random fixtures and Anthony Ralston's played. I don't think there's any doubt who the number one choice is there?
No, listen, big games, big Champions League games, Juranovic is always in there. Ange Postecoglou, I think he's managed him well up until this point, knowing that he's got enough in Ralston to put Juranovic fresh into this World Cup, and it's paid off for him.
If you're Anthony Ralston, you're sitting there listening to all the speculation about Juranovic and listening to all the assumptions that Alistair Johnson will come in and replace him, and he's played at the World Cup. I'm sure Anthony Ralston's sitting believing that he can actually time his run perfectly and become the number one choice.
Well, he's got a past history, because we thought it was time he's run out of Celtic Park. Ange Postecoglou walks in, he came a massive part of the squad, scored important goals for him as well, Gordon. He's never really let them down. Yeah, he'll relish the challenge. He'll fancy himself to say, right, okay, if Juranovic leaves, Alistair Johnston, myself, going for a right back position. That's what it's all about. But it's a squad game. He'll get his game time, and when he gets his game time, he has to show the manager that he's good enough to stay there.
No, I totally agree. I think Ralston's got enough confidence, much like Greg Taylor has just now, and enough goodwill in the tank again from Celtic fans, that I think he'll fancy himself if Juranovic does go at the door early January, that I'm the number one right back and Johnson's got to work his way and by me, because when you like Alistair Johnson had a good World Cup, you look at his domestic career, it's, you know, he's not a sample
terrific
European
young kid. Terrific young kid, great attitude, always willing to learn.
But he's not a sample European football. It's not like he's came from one of the big clubs that you go, this guy's coming to oust
me. Never coached any of the World Cup players. No, never got no.
Did they ever
pass Brecon?
Granted, from the opposite side of the world, but they're not echoes of kind of Real Hatate in there as well, then, when you think about that.
Yeah.
And it didn't stop those guys hitting the ground fairly quickly.
Of course, I'm not saying Alistair Johnson will be bad. I'm just saying, if you are Ralston and you're looking for something to hold on to, I'm pretty sure he's thinking, I want to go at being the number one right back. And he isn't. He's back up to Juranovic. He'll want the number one slot.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, let's cut Kieran off before he embarrasses you again at Beat the Pundit. Yeah. By the way, we need something tonight. We need something, listeners. I need you more than ever before. The Pundits are on an 18-day winning streak. Beat the Pundit. 18 days, 14 shows. Spin it how you want. It's been ages since the Pundits lost, but tonight's the night. Seriously, you've got a chance. I'm looking at these two. You have a chance, believe me. 01419511025. The lines close at 7, so come on. Let's see if we can put Wilson or DL back in their box.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson, Gordon DL, both here. Argentina, Croatia has just kicked off. Can I just double check something? I just nipped out to the bathroom as you would during the break. Did I hear you as I walked out say, "Oh, I thought this was a 7:45 kickoff"?
No, it was Mark.
Did he say that?
He did say that.
How much does that just show that he doesn't ever watch the World Cup?
Calum is my witness. I said, "Which other games at the World Cup were a 7:45 kickoff?" And he says, "No." They were all 7:45 kickoffs.
That's how bad it's been. I've only seen the second halves.
I think you're now up against it, right? Because a couple of weeks ago you were giving it the grumpy man. Now everybody I speak to has been saying that, look,
they agree with me.
It's winter and you've got the whole Qatar thing. But in terms of the football, a lot of people have been loving this World Cup.
Absolutely no chance. You put a poll up there on Saturday, right? And I'll guarantee I'll win that.
What, as in good or bad World Cup?
Yeah, and I will guarantee I will win that.
I guarantee you won't.
Right, okay, we'll go for it.
Okay. 01419511025, Twitter at Clyde SSB. Why not get in touch? Nothing on Juranovic watch yet. We'll keep you up to speed on anything that happens in that game. Rangers fans, Hibs fans, this might be the perfect time to get in touch, because this time on Thursday we'll be properly building up to the game. So why not get your early thoughts in? All the usual, who should play, who shouldn't play, but maybe the bigger picture, Michael Beale, first game, what you're looking for, what you're expecting, and anything else you think we've missed, pick up that phone and we'll do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. It's been ages since the Pundit's lost, so we're going to fix that tonight with John, who's in the Borders, aren't we, John?
I am indeed.
Good.
This will be my fourth win if I win. So,
oh my goodness!
Pundits have been winning that long. I think I need to step up.
I didn't realise you were a serial player. I mean, so you've played three and lost three.
No, won three.
Oh, hold on a minute!
They brought out the big guns, didn't they?
You two are up against
it. Get the big guns in.
Mark Wilson and Marvin Bartley.
Well, wow. There you go.
Wow.
Have you got three balls?
No, I've only got two actually.
Sometimes they get lost in the post, John. Don't advertise that, eh? But no, we're good for it. Producer Callum's running a tight ship this season. He's good for it. He's just been exposed. His face is the same colour as that North Face fleece that he's wearing. Anyway, other outdoor brands are available. Heads, it's Mark Wilson. Tails, it will be Gordon DL. Oh, it's tails.
Oh, right, okay.
We need you to slip up tonight, because the pundits have been winning for far too long.
Oh, listen, there's every opportunity I could slip up.
I was going to say, if there's one man that's capable of delivering,
I'm your man.
It's you. So what we do here then is give Gordon some Clyde 2 to listen to, and John will put 30 seconds on the clock. You know the drill. If you don't know it, pass and move on. Are you ready?
Go for it, mate.
Good man, your time starts now. What nationality is Yanis Hadji?
Romanian.
Which current English top flight side did Behram Kayal join after leaving Celtic?
Pass.
Who did France beat in the 2018 World Cup final?
Croatia.
Which Scottish team did Sherwin Seedorf play for?
Partick Thistle.
Who's the current Falkirk manager?
Pass.
Name any Kilmarnock player who's previously played for Rangers.
Kyle Lafferty.
Okay. Gordon DL, can you hear us?
Yeah, I was quick.
Bearing in mind you're up against a three-time winner.
I know, I'm a bit worried.
Ready?
I'll give it my best shot, yeah.
What nationality is Yanis Hadji?
Romanian.
Which current English top flight side did Behram Kayal join after leaving Brighton? Celtic? Who did France beat in the 2018 World Cup
Brazil?
Final? Which Scottish team did Sherwin Seedorf play for?
Pass.
Who's the current Falkirk manager?
John McGinn.
Name any Kilmarnock player who previously played for Rangers.
Burke.
Ryan Fraser made his professional debut with which Scottish Premiership side?
Aberdeen.
John, have you made it four?
I think he's done me.
Oh, that's never good. Oh, that is never good. Yanis Hadji's Romanian. You both got that. John did not get Brighton, and you did, so you're 2-1 in front. However, Croatia. France beat Croatia in the 2018 final.
When did they beat Brazil?
1998. just the 20 years previously.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, close.
2-2, John. Yeah, okay. Well done, John.
Now, I've got a bit of sympathy for John here.
Uh-huh.
A lot of sympathy for John here, because he knew the answer to this, but he gave us the wrong answer first. And we need to accept the answer. I've got no sympathy for you, because Sherwin Seedorf was Motherwell.
He didn't get either, did he?
Aye.
Oh my God. Some fan.
Listen,
you
it went right over
my
head,
I'm sure
that
it did. Okay. So it's 2-2. Good game. The Falkirk manager is
John McGlynn.
John McGlynn. So Gordon Dale goes in front, 3-2. However,
oh no,
Chris Burke doesn't play for Kilmarnock anymore.
He does.
No, he's in the coaching staff.
He plays in the reserves. I'm telling you right now, he's coaching. He's playing the
doesn't
reserves.
Count, I'm afraid.
He's a signed player. No. Get that on. No. Yes, he's a signed player.
He's not.
What did John say?
Kyle Lafferty.
Oh, I forgot about him.
Based
or Jordan Jones.
I forgot about him as well.
So your level.
Burke's a signed player.
He's not.
Get Burke on
he's
the phone.
Not. He actually left the club and then went back as a coach.
I was going to say something there. Right. 3-3.
Yep. Ryan Fraser made his professional debut with Aberdeen. A nice easy one. But John didn't get that far.
Oh, I'll tell you what, John, you can take on the Wolves, Big Martin, the lot, you know, but when you come up against the Dazzler, the coach of the year, the intelligent one, the guy that knows everything.
Well, things that you've never heard before.
Yeah, put it this way, you ain't get four balls now, mate.
Do you know what's even worse?
Oh, see
I'm
you later.
Four
What, yeah, John?
He knew Sherwin Seedorf.
I'm claiming four goals. Seedorf,
he said Partick.
I'm claiming Burke. Boom. See you later,
oh,
boy.
Oh, nightmare. Anyway, John, this was the warm up to the big game for you, I'm sure. You're a Rangers fan. How much are you looking forward to Thursday night?
50-50, to be honest. I'm on the fence about BLA, so I'll see how it goes. Hopefully it pans out, but should get a decent indication on Thursday. But saying that, it's Hibs in there. They've been the worst state than us this season, so.
What makes you sit on the fence still? Because this is not very scientific, right? But sort of based on the phone calls on here, we had loads of folk that were 50-50. In fact, loads of folk that were against Michael Beale's appointment. But since then, it feels like a bit more of air of optimism has been sort of seeping in, getting a little bit more excited and looking forward to it. Why are you still on the fence?
It's my opinion, he's going to be working with his hands tied behind his back, the same way that Gio was and the same way that Stevie G was for the last wee bit. Just my opinion, those upstairs, some folk upstairs need to go, I think.
So you don't think the assumption or the hope from the Rangers board and other fans that he can get more out of the players that are already there, you don't think that's enough? You think it needs more than that?
I think he will get more out of them, but it's not going to be enough to win the league, which ultimately, as the late great Fernando Rixon said, first is everything, second is nothing in Glasgow.
Even this season though, you know, when you start with a 9-point deficit?
He's got that season obviously, but next season probably back to a poor summer signing wise, hands tied behind his back. Then this time next year we'll be near enough the same position, I think.
Very possible. I suppose Gordon, for Michael Beale, if he was asked, he would just tell you it's about Thursday first.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, John's right to look at the bigger picture, I'm sure.
Yeah, but listen, it's a new era under Michael Beale. Rangers fans, I think the biggest percentage of them were quite happy with the appointment. The players seem to be quite happy with the appointment. It's the old story. The talking will be finished. He has to start performing. He has to start getting points on the board. That's the most important thing. That's what he'll be judged with. I think Rangers fans are looking for a little bit more style of football because it got a bit boring under Van Bronckhorst. That was well documented. So it'll be interesting to see over the coming months how he actually does. But Rangers fans are very hopeful.
Yeah, I mean, I get John's point in 50-50, you know, because a lot of Rangers fans still see him as that he walked away and he's not got any great experience in management in 20 games or whatever. He maybe wanted a more experienced name. But if it is the case that any manager has his hands tied behind his back because of the Rangers board, then you'd have to say that Beale's a good appointment then on the face of that, because he seems like a coach that would better at the players than Van Bronckhorst was getting. And time will tell. If he does improve the team, I think it'll be incredibly hard to catch Celtic, because Celtic, you know, are in such a good place themselves. You would need Celtic to go off the rails dramatically. But if Beale does improve them and he does get a wee bit closer to Celtic and maybe manages to win one or two of those games, then in the summer I think the Rangers fans will see that as a successful appointment. Maybe add a cup to that successful appointment, and then the summer will take care of itself in terms of who goes at the door, because there's a number of players heading at the door, and then it will be Michael Beale's team, because he'll have to bring replacements in for those.
Yeah, John, there was a little bit of optimism from some callers last night about the friendly at the weekend and how things tactically might look a bit different. You strike me as the type of man that takes no interest in friendly games and wants to wait for the real stuff.
None at all. I've seen the goals for the weekend. I believe we played really well, but nah, games like that don't really interest me. It's nice in the summer when the football's been off for 6-7 weeks, but it's only been a few weeks now, and to be honest, I was kind of looking forward to the way they've been playing.
To be fair, Michael Beale might even have agreed, Mark. He said the game was in the way, and he was glad it was out the way at the weekend.
Surprised at that. So was that. I thought he would have been desperate for a game, because there's only so much you can actually do in the training ground before you want to see things in action working. You don't just really want to pitch in, you know, roll up, put your ideas into place, and you're running against mannequins or in training, or you're running against your second string. Do you really get a real idea of that? So against decent opposition, it's never going to give you a total outcome, but I think it gives you a good idea.
Maybe it was just the thought behind it, Mark, was, you know, they're playing Hibs. They have to hit the ground running. Of course they do. That'll be expected. They change, you know, if you're Hibs manager, you're watching Rangers, you've done a bit of homework at the weekend on them. You know, you've looked at where Kent's position is. You look at the front three plus, obviously four with Čolak up there, the rotations. How, you know, Devine's playing down the left-hand side. So I can totally understand, you know, the fact that thinking, right, that game's given a little bit of insight. I don't think it'll matter, let me say. I think Rangers will be too strong, especially at home. But it certainly gives you a wee bit of advantage if you're Lee Johnson.
Yeah, I suppose, Mark, I would completely understand John's viewpoint. I mean, it's not his fault that there are people out there daft enough like Gordon to take a friendly performance and base a league prediction on.
Yeah.
So that's why I think, you know, getting excited about it's probably not really worth it, but at least analysing it to see what the shape might look like or how Rangers go about it, because surely they're not going to rock up against Hibs and do something entirely different from what they did weekend there.
It's got to have been similar, because what's the point in putting that in place? It's obviously something that Beale has worked upon since those first pictures of him in the training ground, and everybody, oh look, there he is, and the training looks great. Well, it all comes together and it looks or resembles what the fans would have seen on Saturday. I mean, I think the standout point is what Daz was kind of saying there, that the forward players, and you had mentioned yourself, forward players playing much closer together rather than this Čolak through the middle and Kent in one wing, and if it was Matondo, he was standing on the touchline, and then it was all very static in the middle. I think it'll be a much more, you know, throwback to kind of what it was in Gerrard. I said a couple of weeks ago, Beale loved playing those two number 10s. Might be slightly different, but you could see why he liked playing those two number 10s. Close to the striker, allowed the width to come to the fullbacks, the amount of assists that Barisic got in those seasons, the amount of assists that Tavernier got in those seasons. They had to play loads behind the ball under Van Bronckhorst and just back up the play, and it just didn't suit them. So I think he'll get the best out of both fullbacks, whoever plays in those positions, and he'll get the best out of the guys in behind Čolak, and more people, more bodies in that box.
Again, Gordon, Michael Beale made it quite clear, don't read too much into the starting 11. So let's read a bit into the starting 11. Does it at least look like Adam Devine will just take Borna Barisic's place whilst he's got bigger fish to fry out there at the World Cup?
Yeah, I think that's been an advantage for him. As a young player, you watch the internationals come down, working with the first team, they get the first shot at it. Obviously, they're the number one picks. But somewhere along the line, you think, right, an opportunity is going to come along. I've got to be ready for it. By all reports, and I watched most of the game at the weekend, Gordon, he was very good. He was excellent, you've got to say. I know he wasn't tested before MD starts, but I think that Beale will have every confidence thrown him in there, and it is a good opportunity, because a lot of Rangers fans haven't been pleased with Barisic, and yet he's sitting on the bench tonight in the World Cup semi-final. Yilmaz has had what I call a difficult start to his career. Obviously the lad's injured and he's still to show what he's all about. He came with a decent price tag. So if you're young Devine, I would see this as a great opportunity to put a marker down.
I think it is, and I know he played left back. It's not his natural position, but I don't, it's often not that big a problem for a right footer playing there.
You're the ultimate authority on the subject.
I didn't want to bring myself up, but now that you do,
but you couldn't get a game at right back, they put you left
an
back.
Expert
exactly,
at it.
Exactly, and I managed it easy. So I don't think it's that much a problem. I think we always say it, it's much more unusual to see the left footer go over and play right back. I think Scotland tried it a couple of times with world class fullbacks with Tierney, and did Robertson ever go there? No, I don't think so. I think it was just Tierney, and it didn't quite look right. But a right foot at left back, no problem at all. I think he'll handle it fine.
I think I've asked you this before. Did you play, what sort of split of your Celtic career, left back and right back? 50-50?
Maybe early part of my Celtic career under Strachan, a lot of it was left back. Then from there on in, it was right back.
Yeah. There you are, it can be done. Thank you, by the way, to John in the Borders for giving us his time tonight. 0141951 at 1025. On Juranovic watch, I was a bit busy doing Beat the Pundit and so on. I think he got to the byline, cross cut out, went out for a corner. Anything else?
But busy winning as well, Gordon. I'll leave this one up to Mark.
By the way, Croatia looked the much better team in possession. Their three midfielders are incredible. Juranovic never had anybody really run at him so far, but Croatia looking strong. He could just be staying for another week longer.
I've got a really serious message to deliver here, but there is no way this is going to pass without you, Gordon DL, having something to say about your colleague here. Trust me.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas. It's J&D Pearce, structural steelwork specialist, proud to support the local community.
Yes, we've got an amazing prize to give away for Cash for Kids Mission Christmas. If you head over to our Twitter feed at Clyde SSB, you can see a video of Mark Wilson and I having a little look around a fantastic prize. It's a Mercedes A-Class 72 plate, brand new. And thanks to Arnold Clark, we're giving you the chance to win it. Now, if you go over there, you can see the video. We're sort of doing our best Top Gear impersonation. We're looking at all the features of the car and having a look at what you could win. The problem is, Gordon DL, it's the sign-off.
Yeah.
It's the final scene of the video. I drive the car, they've trusted me to drive it, and this guy winks out the window. And it's repulsive, isn't it?
You set this up on Friday for me when we were sitting at Cash for Kids. And I just looked up and I thought, things couldn't get any worse. Then it did get worse, because yesterday I was actually I don't know how it came up on my phone, but I was watching it again.
I wanted people to be drawn to it. You're watching it again. We want views.
I need to watch what I'm saying very slowly here. The wink, right? It's not the first
wink. Did you say?
It's not the first wink. He actually does it twice, right? There's no way in the world that he was told to double wink. Right.
Well, you never double wink.
I wanted to get the message.
Never in the passenger seat of a Mercedes do you do that. And let me tell you, I've had many merch. Well, but I've got to say, how many people are sitting looking at that, giving him the sign?
That's cool. There's a few other standout moments. There's one where I go over to the car and I explain that it's got keyless entry. And he goes, wow, this is just like magic.
Yeah, I wrote that myself.
And it takes you back to another time that Mark Wilson had in the studio.
Mark Brown replied on Twitter saying, when he says, wow, it's just like magic, you can see Gordon cringing and trying to compose himself. Ronald Villiers indeed.
I just try to make it as natural as possible. I was amazed.
It was for a good cause, and
it's
the best of causes, because we're giving you the chance to win and make a difference to the lives of children in Glasgow and the West all at the same time. So for your chance to win that car, and it is a fantastic prize, text CAR, C-A-R, to 84901. The text costs a standard network rate message plus a £5 voluntary donation to Cash for Kids. So you're helping to tackle holiday hunger. We're talking about children right here in this area that don't get a hot meal for the entirety of the school holidays because they don't get one at home. So these are the types of things we're trying to tackle with your £5 donation. The lines close 6 p.m. Saturday the 17th of December, but do not hang around, over 18s only. T's and C's at Clyde1.com, and that dreadful Mark Wilson wink at the end of the video at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Go and check it out, and then
enjoy, give
us a call right after these.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Argentina had a decent enough shot from range, but Croatia very much the better team so far, Mark.
Yeah, very much so. And we're just chatting about the World Cup final on Sunday, and Daz was just about to say,
"You're not going to watch it.
Who's in it? He's still watching it." Croatia look great. Their midfielder are incredible. Argentina lacking a wee bit in that midfield area until Messi steps in. But tight game so far.
Anyway, right, we'll find out one of the teams. We've got a full time teaser for you, and it's a variation on last night's question. But I know you don't listen anyway because you watched it.
I listened in last night.
Stephen McCara says, from the remaining eight countries that made it to the quarterfinals, can you name Celtic's most recent signing from each of those countries? So from the eight countries that made it to the World Cup quarterfinals, which will be good for you, Gordon Deal, because you don't watch the World Cup. From the eight countries that made it to the quarterfinals of the World Cup, name Celtic's most recent signing from each of them. I liked it.
Moy.
Did Australia make the quarterfinals?
Did Johnson, Canada?
No, did Canada?
Right, who made the quarterfinals?
Lee, I think you should...
Maeda.
You're going to need to leave this to Mark.
Who is it, Mark?
Joe Hart.
From?
England.
Yes.
Oh, I never even thought about him.
Well, start thinking of quarterfinals. And then
bear in mind,
right,
this
track
is only the semis, so you're only going back to like the weekend. Oh, you don't watch it anyway, forget it.
Right. Venegura Heslink.
From the Netherlands.
No.
Come on, there's a much more famous player from the Netherlands that joined after him. A centre back.
Oh, Van Dijk.
Nah, it's not him either.
Oh, you've hooked me in there. Oh.
I'm not even going to get one of these. I'll tell you.
Well, think Dutch.
Is he a centre back?
No.
Forward.
I was just looking him in with Van Dijk.
Centre forward?
No.
Is he no Dutch?
He's got to be Dutch. He's in the quarterfinals. Is he no Dutch? Really are hopeless.
Bear in mind, he doesn't have to have been in the quarterfinals.
Bernabe.
Yes.
Argentina.
Well done. Okay, we'll leave that there. Thank you to Stephen. If you want to send a question in, it's fulltime@clyde1.com. So get thinking, get something jotted down, send it to that email, and I'll do my best to use it on the show. Let's bring in.
Oh, I'll tell you, I've got one.
Hurry up.
Midfield player. Oh, he's just left.
No, you're actually wrong. So just forget.
Do you know
what
I was talking about?
No, I don't. It doesn't matter. What?
For France.
Jota from Portugal, yes.
Yes, okay. Right, okay.
Let's leave it there. Let's bring in Paul, who's a Rangers fan. What's your point tonight, Paul?
Aye, thanks a lot, mate. I had Jota on my mind there.
Right, so don't you give any away, Paul. That's the last thing.
What else is on your mind?
Don't tell me.
No, you're all right. A couple of points. Just wanted to see what you think of this. Obviously, I was at the game on Saturday there. Thought, massive turnaround. If that's the way we're hopefully playing moving forward, I think we're going to see a big improvement in energy and just the whole style of play. It was a lot through more the middle. I thought, I'm looking forward, I'm going to the game on Thursday, I'm looking forward to seeing Adam Devine if he's playing. I thought he was outstanding. Wee bit concerned about the new boy up front. I thought he was a wee bit, a great player and everything else, had a good start, but I don't know if he was going to fit into the new system with Beale. He was a wee bit isolated, I thought. But I thought, I've seen a lot of positives. It was really, really good, but just wanted to find out what you think of this. And Martin Gordon, they've been ex-pros, just see what you guys think. But at the back, I find this way, like, I suppose, seeing much more in football than across modern day football, but the goalkeeper doesn't kick the ball out further up the pitch. He passes a gentle pass to a defender. Defender then starts to play at the back. We nearly lost a goal against Leverkusen with it, and I just don't understand it. Then McLaughlin, in the second half, there's a twist round with another player. Again, Neil loses it. I just think, I heard then Fabio Capello saying that Jordan Pickford had done too many kickouts at the game. That's what caused England. I want to know, from a professional point of view, coaching and whatnot, what benefit do you gain from a player, from a goalkeeper pass it to a player to then play their way out? What's the benefit of that than kicking the ball up the park?
Mark?
I would guess it's to
penalty
entice
Argentina. And it's a yellow for
the goalkeeper.
Yeah, for the goalkeeper.
Did Definitely.
Obviously, you'd imagine Messi will take it. Anyway,
just talking about kind of long balls, that's the way Argentina get their penalties. Mm-hmm. It's just a long ball up the pitch and they're through and goal. Listen, to answer your question, I guess it's to entice the opposition onto you so that you can, you know, you can pick holes through the midfield. Teams who are comfortable in possession, who have got good midfielders who can handle the ball, who have got fullbacks who know when to go through the back line into the midfield. You know, it's all part of a plan. If your centre backs are good enough to take that ball at the back, entice a striker, wide players onto you, and play through those lines, it opens up.
Is the key word what you said there, plan? Because it allows you to plan. If you kick the ball up the pitch, you don't really know what's going to happen to it. You might win the header, or they might win the header, and it might go. You know, you can't really predict where that's going to land. It's then a bit of a lottery. Who picks up the second ball? Whereas, I get why people have concerns with it, but if you every single day work on a pattern that you can try and dictate, then you're the one that tries to get in
and
control.
And it depends the personnel you've got. Now, if you've got a 6'5" striker who is as strong as when I played John Hartson, I just took the ball at my feet and played that in an area, and John would be able to hold off a striker, midfielders would get round about him. But how many teams do you see that when nowadays they've got wide players who come in the pitch who occupy these little holes, that playing the ball through the back has to create space somewhere. So that means dragging the opposition and top of you to play around them. So it is part of a plan, it is part of a pattern, it is the modern game nowadays. Will we see days gone back to Daz's day where he was ducking out of headers with Willie Miller?
Big Peter, boom, up you go. Harry Kane, it was still coming.
Got a bit of reason that pretty much all the big teams at least try to do it now.
Possession based. It's just keeping the ball rather than kick up the partner, as you say, in the midfield, fight for a second ball. And Mark's right.
Lionel Messi scores as good a penalty as you can get, really. One of those unsavable ones, left footed into the top corner. And Argentina lead Croatia by a goal to nil.
And what you do is you try and, you know, encourage players to come and then play through the lines, it's now called. It's just a modern day game. Every coach plays from the back. Very seldom. Well, there are one or two, maybe, you know, Sean Dyche come in for a little bit of criticism, a long ball game, but there's always a plan to it. But most coaches now, goalkeeper, centre backs, got to. That's why when they sign centre backs and defenders now, as much as we always say, first and foremost, I've got to defend, what they look for is a goalkeeper to be comfortable with the ball. They look for a centre-backs to be comfortable, and certainly your full-backs.
Do you think maybe it's preconceptions, though, Paul? Do you think, you know, when you've watched football a certain way for a while, because I was interested in the way you described it. I was working at the game, and you said, you know, McLaughlin nearly got caught. He turned away from a player. But he didn't get caught, did he? And he didn't really nearly get caught either. It was nearly in the sense that the player closed him down, but John McLaughlin went right round him and then played away. And I know John McLaughlin has made the mistake against Celtic and all that, so I'm just talking about that one example. Is it not the case here that still a lot of fans just get their heart in their mouth because they're just not used to it?
What we start off by saying, I'm just delighted with that score with Argentina. Hopefully they stay that way. I've got them in my suit state.
Oh, lucky.
No, I think I get what you're saying, but the whole stand, or felt like the whole stadium, just all paused and held their breath. I know it's only a friendly and whatnot, but I just think it creates. I know it's modern day. Maybe I'm turning to Shugster here and going old school, right? But I just think you create more problems, and if you do that against Celtic and whatnot, teams that are going to catch out. And I'm hoping with energy that Bill's going to bring the team up. Celtic do it quite a lot, and I know John. Joe Hart plays quite a sweeper keeper, whatever you want to call it now. But he can nearly be caught out a few times. I've seen Hart pressing him, and Celtic are open up to mistakes playing that. But again, I listen to what the guys are saying there, and you're right, it's, I suppose, modern day football, tiki-taka and all that type of stuff and styles and whatnot. But I'm more of a fan, I suppose. I quite like the 4-4-2 system, but again, we're moving away from that to have one up front. I don't understand that either, but I'm not moaning about it. I think the style of play we had was great. It was much better. I thought Kent played in a different type of position. I think it was definitely better from watching from Bronckhorst's style. So I think looking forward to Thursday's and an early prediction for you, I'm going to go for Rangers 4-5-0.
Wow, confident. There's nothing wrong with a bit of old school. Paul's sort of acknowledging that as well, Mark. But I think what we always kind of forget in the debate when Paul's talking about nearly getting caught out, and sometimes, you know, Celtic will make a mistake. because those mistakes become high profile, you'll remember them. Now it might only, it genuinely might only happen 1, 2, 3 times a season, and it feels like that's a lot because you remember them.
Yep.
But what you don't measure, what you don't ever remember, is the times that when you do kick the ball long, the other team get it
100%.
And then build up and then go and score. You don't remember it because it's not it's not direct.
Couldn't agree more with you in that point, because there is a perception when a centre back gives the ball away, run about his 18 yard line, that, oh my goodness, we shouldn't be playing this way, we're inviting pressure onto ourselves. But you're right, the amount of times you retain possession, and that comes back down to the midfield, they come at you, and you can never build any solid game plan on that, on a gamble, unless you have a striker or two reliable strikers, you know it's going to stick, and they're just not in the game anymore. So you have to move with the times, and that's just the way. And it's much better to watch, let's be honest, much better to watch that.
Speaking of strikers though, I'm very interested in one of Paul's opening points, Gordon, because Antonio Colak has been Rangers' main success story in terms of new signings. He has scored a lot of good goals this season. He's had a good start to the season, but it is entirely possible that he's just not Michael Beale's type, and he just might not suit the system, because that's what happens when a new manager comes in. Paul's floating that out there as if that's something he might have spotted. What do you think?
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see, because if you're playing with your wingers like Ken Matondo in the field, your centre forward becomes so important. He's the guy that you're going to bounce things off of. Is Colak that kind of player? No, he's not. Morelis certainly is. He's a back-to-goal player. He can bring players into the game. But where the advantage for Colak is, with Rangers playing that system, and Mark highlighted it earlier, the full-backs are going to be the width. Barisic and Tavernier under Beale and Gerrard were brilliant at getting assists. That's what he feeds off. So it'll be interesting to see if Beale does... Oh, that's incredible.
Argentina have taken a 2-0 lead, and he bundled the ball through about three different challenges, Mark. It looked like he'd overrun it. It looked like he should have picked a different pass. It looked like I was calling him a greedy something under my breath. And Croatia don't manage to clear their lines, and it ends up in the back of the net. Argentina 2, Croatia 0.
Wow, what a time to get a second goal. You know, they're defending a corner kick, breaks to the edge of the box. Messi gets the slightest touch in it, and before you know it, three Argentinian players are bearing down the Croatia goal.
But is that a Messi assist?
It's got to be. But Alvarez, the way he carries that, you're right, he should have released it. But I don't know how. He manages to bundle his way through.
Does great.
Yeah.
As from, you know, their own half, their own box, you know, they break away. That's what you're talking about, counter attacks.
He runs from his own half.
Yeah, and it's brilliant play. You're right, Gordon, and they've got a little bit of an overload to you. You're thinking, pass it. How much luck do you must need? Creation defenders tried to clear it.
But we have to be fair, because we've given the guy so much praise. Does Juranovic cover himself in glory with that first attempted clearance?
Probably not, and the left back doesn't do great either, so not poor defending from the Croatians.
Terrible defending.
Yeah, it looks like Messi is going to be in the World Cup final after all.
Terrible defending,
Anyway, Argentina 2, Croatia 0. Who's got them in our sweepstake?
Shug.
Oh, you're kidding.
I don't think they'll win it, don't worry about it.
That would sum him up. Can't get a prediction right for 50 years, but eventually gets the sweepstake because he didn't choose it. It was given to him. Thank you to Paul on the line. It was good to hear Paul's thoughts on Rangers going forward. How are you two?
Brilliant.
Faring on this teaser, we're looking for the most recent signing Celtic have made from each of the quarterfinal countries at the World Cup. So like Joe Hart is the last Englishman, Bernabe the last Argentinian, Jota the last Portuguese.
I finally got there. One of my favourite players when he came to Celtic, Frimpong.
Yes, from the Netherlands.
Juranovic must be Croatian.
Juranovic is the Croatian one, and we'll get the rest of the answers and more of your calls if you fancy it next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Still Argentina 2, Croatia 0. Luka Modric has just whizzed one right off the face of Otamendi, who took it well, to be fair. He's not
that's
bothered.
Brave,
he's
not
phased. But by the way, we thought it was tight, and we thought Croatia started the better of the sides, and now it looks like it could be an absolute doing.
Could be finished.
Well, and saying that, they were two up on Friday night, Argentina.
Yeah, true, yes.
Yeah, sure they were. 2-2.
Yeah, you're a student of the game. Well done, right.
Well.
We've got one more call to squeeze in before the end. Let's check the teaser quickly, though. We're looking for the most recent signing Celtic have made from each of the countries in the quarterfinals of the World Cup. So you've got Juranovic, obviously, of Croatia, Frimpong from Netherlands, Joe Hart from England, Bernabe, Argentina, and Jota from Portugal. I'll take one more guess each.
El Kadouri, Morocco.
Is he not Tunisian?
No, he's Moroccan.
You're right, he is. Well done.
Well done. Student of the game,
well,
Daz.
Well, not really. You teed me up.
Take one more guess.
Right, Brazil. Between two.
Okay.
Either Shai or Janinho.
Excuse me. Janinho is well done. Janinho. Okay. Which means there's only one to get.
Just wanted to say that first one.
There is only one to get. 01419511025. William was on the line from Ridley, and he's disappeared. I don't know where he's gone. So William, if you are out there, feel free to give us a call back. We would love to hear from you before the end of the show, if we can try and squeeze it in. And just a reminder, if you want to send your teaser in, just like Stephen did tonight, it is fulltime@clyde1.com on the email. Send us your question.
Well, how many have you got to go here?
Only one.
Only one.
Where is it? France? We got France?
No, you've not got France yet, so you'll get it before the end of the show. I hope, anyway. That would be the ideal scenario. Let's hear a bit from Lee Johnson as we continue building up, because he is the guy who is hoping to upset the odds and ruin Michael Beale's big managerial competitive debut at Ibrox. There's been a bit of talk, you know, Twitter and all that sort of stuff, and on this show, about would Ryan Porteous be a target for Rangers. Well, Lee Johnson was asked about that today. He says he wouldn't be surprised if Rangers tried, but he is hopeful that he can stay at the club.
I haven't heard that. Would it surprise me? No, because I think Ryan's a good player. But certainly, as far as I'm aware, there's been no official contact from any club on Ryan at this point. But in fairness, it's early days. And who knows? I think that maybe it might just turn. And depending on the offers that he does get, or that we get, I still live in hope that eventually he'll come to his senses. And I would never put a player out on the pitch that I didn't feel was committed to Hibs. But in Ryan's case, I do believe he is committed to Hibs, because I see it every day, and I see the professionalism, I see his attitude. And listen, there's going to be moments where his head's turned. We're not shying away from the fact that we will trade Ryan.
So you get that sometimes when it's announced that a player won't sign a new contract. Some fans say, make him train with the kids, put him in the reserves, don't play again then, no point. I think listening to Lee Johnson there, he'll play then at Ibrox on Thursday night.
I don't think that's ever going to happen with somebody like Portis, that you can see in every game that he gives his offer. I just don't get that logic sometimes that the fans just want rid when they've still got 6 months. You know, that is the modern game. A player, if they're good enough and serve the club well enough, they're going to move on, no matter what club it is, until you get to the top. You're Real Madrid's of this world. It's just the way of the world. So why would you cut off your nose to spite your face and say, go and train with the kids, you're our best centre half, but we don't want you? Of course you want them to contribute until they're actual out of contract, and like by some miracle that they get £1 million plus for them in January, then he served the club well. I don't think they will get that amount of money, but you can't begrudge Ryan Portis a move when other bigger clubs come sniffing around a bit.
Well, we've been talking shop windows, Gordon, and if Ryan Porteous is trying to do an extra bit, then going to Ibrox, keeping the heat, as the saying goes, not getting involved and having a very good game live on TV when everyone knows that his contract's up and he's looking to leave, that wouldn't do him any harm.
100%. He'll be desperate to play, of course he will. He wants to show clubs that are going to come in and take him for their services, for his services, that he's a good enough player. And you want to demand the best contract, because that's just the way of football just now. But Lee Johnson's perfectly correct. You don't put players to train with kids in reserves. That's disrespectful. The lad has seen his contract. He's got 6 months. He's quite entitled to do what he's doing. He's not breaking any laws. He's not going behind Hibs's back. He's wanting to move on. He wants to better himself. Nothing up with that. And Lee Johnston is sitting as a Hibs manager in 8th place in the Premier League. You're going to Ibrox in the first game back. You need your best centre-halves.
Yeah, well, Lee Johnson claims that they will be ready to combat whatever new identity Michael Beale brings to Rangers on Thursday.
Michael's got a strong philosophy. He had a strong philosophy in the work that he'd done with Stephen. He's then moved to QPR, had a very short stint there, and obviously got the dream move, if you like, for him, because he'd been at Rangers before and he knows the club inside out. So he will have a way of playing, of which, of course, we think we have a very good knowledge of because we do the research, but they've also got very good players, Rangers.
May well be the case that Hibs have worked wonders during this break, Mark Wilson. If that's not the case, is this an ideal fixture for Michael Beale to kick off?
Yes, if it's not the case, because Hibs really need to improve. The squad that they've got, we've spoke about it before, the individual players, they should be much better collectively. You can't keep, you know, performing in that manner and just jumping from manager to manager. Something's got to stick in the players' heads. Lee Johnson, he's had his critics since he's been in Scotland, but I believe the players owe better performances as well. So in paper, I think it is a good one for Beale, because Hibs pretty open at times, can be easy-ish to play against. I don't think they're a team that would come and park the bus and make it difficult for Rangers to break through and defend in their 18-yard line. I mean, it's to be commended that they'll come and have a go, but I just don't think they're strong enough defensively then to keep Rangers at bay. Rangers have got much better players than them, let's be honest about it. So I think Rangers will win the game. I think they will win it comfortably. I think it will be a good start for Beale.
And then, you know, there's Lee Johnson might get criticism from some people. Hibs players can get criticism. But then there's that other bit, Gordon, that maybe a little bit of luck. He's got Martin Boyle out for the rest of the season. If you were going to Ibrox and looking at one even small potential chink there, you could say, well, they're going to have to play young Adam Devine at left back, and it would be good to get Martin Boyle up against him. And, you know, he can't even do that. Can you see any way that the Hibs spoil Michael Beale's
night? At all. I don't think they score enough goals. I know Nisbet's been a big miss for him.
He's back,
but I don't think they score enough
McGeady
goals.
Is getting closer as well, I think?
Yeah, they've had their troubles with injuries. Of course they have, but so have Rangers. I just think they lose too many as well, Gordon. It's at home, Beale's first game. It'll be a packed house there. I'm not going down the 4 or 5 with an earlier caller, but I do think Rangers will win the game and pick up the first 3 points under Michael Beale's new reign.
Juranovic, Barisic is their World Cup about to end. Mark Wilson, 2-0 at half time.
Think so. I mean, I know I said the Netherlands came back into it the other night there when it was 2-0. I just see Argentina. Since Argentina scored their second goal, they've been brilliant. Could have been 3 after that. So I think they will be back in Glasgow in the next few days. Unfortunately for them.
Well, it looks like Lionel Messi and co will march on to the World Cup final, but you can never rule this Croatia team out. So we'll see what happens come the end of the evening. You two have got one more answer to give me on this full time teaser. Thanks again to Stephen for sending it. fulltime@clyde1.com. Get involved. He wants the guys to name the most recent signing Celtic have made from each of the 8 countries that made the World Cup quarterfinals. So you've got Juranovic, obviously, from Croatia, Frimpong of the Netherlands, Hart from England, Bernabe, Argentina, Jota, Portugal, El Kadouri, Morocco. Give me a Frenchman.
Go on, Mark. You've got it. I can see it in your face.
No, I think, was it Encham? No.
That's who I was thinking.
No. Julien?
Yes.
Encham, that's a man.
Christopher Julien.
It was Julien.
I don't even know what rules him out. Maybe it is the timing. Also worth bearing in mind that Encham did play in the World Cup for Cameroon.
Yeah.
So I know he represented France at youth level as well, but he's now, maybe his football nationality's taken him out. Anyway,
this guy's ready for the cold. I wish the camera was on.
What is that?
The biggest puffer jacket
and a body warmer
ever seen
underneath it.
He's like somebody at E17 in the '90s with that.
Anyway,
it's humongous.
Thank you, Mark Wilson, Gordon Dalziel. We are back tomorrow night. Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell are here. Callum Gallagher is up next. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll speak to you at 6 tomorrow.